Praise the Lord that God is the one in control. Amen. Oh, come on now. Let me get a better response to that. Praise the Lord that God's the one in control. Amen. 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 I had another rare moment this morning just sitting here thinking, and God has changed my mind again this morning. Just thinking about all kinds of different things going on in the situations in life. And so I want to turn to a different passage of Scripture than I had studied for this morning. So open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter number 3 this morning. Proverbs chapter number 3. I have a sense that God is leading me in this direction because there may be some people in here who are wondering what direction to go. What do I do? How do I handle this situation? What do I do because of this? And you can fill the blank in this morning. One of the biggest questions that I'm ever asked as a pastor is, Brother Brian, how did you get so good looking? How are you so fantastic at doing this and doing that? No, nobody ever asked me those things. The biggest question that I get asked is, Brother Brian, how do I know blank? How do I know, Brother Brian, which way to go? How do I know what to do? How do I know who to marry? How do I know what job to get? How do I know these things? Brother Brian, can you give me some wisdom and some guidance and some direction? Let me start out by saying this. I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you what I think is good advice, and I can tell you, hey, I believe that this is the direction you ought to go. But the one who really can is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, then you have God Himself living inside of you. He's the one that wrote this book. He's the one that said, here's how you're to live. Here's what I've got in store for you. And so if you'll understand what God is telling you in His book, then you'll know what direction to go and what to do. Now, a lot of us, though, we want it written in the clouds. A lot of us say, okay, God, what do I do about this? Okay, God, now show me. And we want it written in cursive. Or we want it written in plain English. We want to say, okay, this is what I want you to do. But you know what? God doesn't work that way sometimes. But I'm not going to limit how God works. Sometimes God speaks to us in a small, still voice. Sometimes God speaks to us in circumstances. Sometimes God speaks to us in situations. Sometimes God speaks to us in song. Sometimes God speaks to us through other means. But He'll always speak to us through what His Word says. But let me help you also understand this. He'll never, ever, ever lead you contrary to what this says. If you get an understanding and you're getting leading from something and it's different than what this says, you know that can't be from God. God will never tell you to do something opposite of what this book says this morning. So here in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now this is Solomon, and he's writing these words to his son. These are advice that he was giving. Now, he didn't have understanding that here in 2020 that we'd be reading these words, but he wrote these words to his son, but God superintended these words intended for us today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." He says, listen, don't forget what I've taught you. Don't forget how I've guided you. Instead, let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, let your heart be guided by what I've taught you. I have run into person after person after person in my 23, 24 years of ministry, and this is what happens when we get away from the things of God, then we start making stupid decisions. When we get away from the things of God, then we start doing stupid things. When we get away from the things of God, then we start saying stupid words. Brothers and sisters, do not get away from what God has plainly taught you. Don't get away from doing the ways of God. Because if you do, you're going to stray and get away. So he says, don't forget what I've taught you, but let your heart meditate on these things. Verse number 2, he says, here's the example of it. Here's what the result's going to be. The length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You want to have peace in your life? You want to have a life that's pleasing to God? Then do what He says. Do what He says. How many of you understand that it's foolish to hold on to an electrical wire? How many of you know that's foolish? All right. Let me share an example with you. All right. That last storm that came through, many of you know the last storm that came through, it wrapped our trampoline around the power wire over here at the church, at the parsonage over there. I mean, it literally wrapped it around that maidenhead, the weather head in the top of the thing. And it was raining and it was blowing and everything else, and that thing was crashing against the house. And I got the brilliant idea to go out there and try to take it off in the middle of the storm. Now, number one, that was foolish. But I didn't know what else to do. It had stopped finally raining, and the wind wasn't blowing as hard. And so I thought, you know what? I'm afraid that the power's going to get knocked out if I don't take that trampoline off of that wire. All right, how many of you realize that was a dumb idea? God takes care of foolish people sometimes. I went out there. And I was getting ready to grab it and start tugging on it. It was like the Holy Spirit said, "Let go." I grabbed a hold of it, and I started to pull, and the Holy Spirit said, "Let go." I let go of that thing. Now, come to find out, the next day when they came out to take it apart, that the wire running through the trampoline netting was about that far from the main wire coming into the house. If I'd have tugged on that thing any harder, it would have touched that, and I would have become ground, and I would have become a crispy critter. And they say, "Well, Brother Brian, why are you saying that?" Because here's the situation. The Holy Spirit sometimes tells us, let go. Stop doing what you're doing. You're about to make a major mistake in your life, but you know what? We're so stubborn sometimes that we say, "No, I got this handled. I know how to do it." The funny thing is, my wife didn't tell me to do it. I don't know why. She didn't tell me to let go. I don't know, understand, but she didn't. But it says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Taking care of God's word and understanding God's word and listening to God's word, your life's going to be what it ought to be. Verse number 3. And then he says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." Let mercy and truth be a way of life. Be merciful to people. Be merciful to people. But also, here's a big thing that we have a problem with. Let mercy be applied to you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but some of you this morning, you have a hard time letting God be merciful to you. You have a hard time letting God forgive you. You have a hard time letting God understand and speak to your heart that, you know what, it's okay. God still loves you. Can I tell you this morning? God does not hate you. You know how I know? He told me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let mercy reign in your hearts. But it also says, let truth be your life. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart." Understand this. God's mercy is given to you because Jesus Christ died for you. God's mercy. But look at verse number 4. He says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now here's the part that we don't like right here. It's loving. We love mercy and we love truth and we love love. But then now God starts to meddling in our lives. Follow along with me. Number 1, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Number 1, let God be God because you're not. Let God be God because you're not. Mine own understanding was to go out there and grab that trampoline and try to unravel it off of the electrical wire. That was my understanding. I was reacting to a situation without letting myself think about the right thing to do. You know what? We as parents and we as adults and we as children, we do the same thing, don't we? We react to a situation, well, this is how I've always done it, or this is how my mom and daddy done it, and this is how my friends do it. And then we get on Facebook and we put a post on there saying, please pray for me. And you got everybody responding back saying, oh, what's going on? And then you ask your neighbor down the street, hey, how do I deal with it? And no, there's nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. But you don't have to necessarily go to people all the time. Go to God. Let God give you understanding and guidance. But you know what the problem is? We don't go to God first. We pull up our bootstraps and we say, you know what? I can handle this. I'm an American. I'm an independent man. I'm an independent woman. And I know what I'm doing. Brothers and sisters, that's going to cost you more than you want to pay. Don't try to understand it your way. Don't try to do it just because you've done it the same way all the time. Trust in the Lord. And where does that begin? Where does trust in the Lord begin? Asking Him first. God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't understand this situation. You know all about it. You've created me. You've created the situation. God, you do it. But you know what? We don't like to do that because we're afraid God's going to tell us something we don't want to do. What job do I take, Brother Brian? Well, oftentimes, the jobs we choose to take us away from the things of God. Well, Brother Brian, I got to make money. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But do you think God really wants you to stay away from the things of God in order for you to make money? What does it say? Trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't acknowledge your knowledge, acknowledge God's knowledge. All right, so number one, trust in the Lord. Let God be God because you're not. Number two, in some of your ways, acknowledge Him. If your Bible says that, get rid of it. And how many of the ways should you acknowledge Him? Come on, we're in church, you can say it. All thy ways. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. What does that mean? God, thank you. God, you are God and I'm not. God, thank you for what you've blessed me with. Now, let's take an inventory of how God's blessed us. How many of you have a house to live in? How many of you have clothes to wear? Some of you aren't raising your hands. Uh-oh. How many of you have food to eat? How many of you have breath in your body? You can just keep your hands. I'm going to keep asking you questions. How many of you have freedom as an American? How many of you have salvation? How many of you have forgiveness? How many of you have grace? See, our hands keep going up. Can't we acknowledge God in that? Can't we tell Him, God, thank you for what you've done? But what happens is one little thing goes wrong, and then we start having a pity party. And then we forget of everything God has done for us, and all we can do is concentrate on that one little thing that's gone wrong. Well, the teachers aren't teaching my kid right. And the teacher's fault because it's the teacher that gave all that homework. No! Guess what? You may have a bad teacher. But you've got a God that loves you, that gave wisdom and understanding and knowledge to that teacher to help teach your child. Pray for your teachers. And all the teachers said, amen. Well, Brother Brian, you don't understand that doctor. That doctor didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. Well, pray for that doctor. Quit focusing on the little things and instead start focusing on what God. Acknowledge Him. It says, acknowledge him in all your ways. And then what does it say? Acknowledge him, and then what shall it do? It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is better than GPS. God is better than Garmin. How many of you have ever had Garmin lead you in a wrong direction before? Just a few of you? One time we were going to Williamsburg from Kingsport, and I decided to get in there and fool around with Garmin just a little bit and change just a couple of parameters, and we started heading towards Williamsburg. And we started to join the drive and seeing all the scenery or anything else. But the problem was Garmin led us to downtown Richmond, Virginia. And downtown Richmond, Virginia is not the best place to be in the middle of the night. And so as we were going through downtown Richmond, Virginia, and it was just a scary, scary time. I didn't know where I was. Garmin was saying, take a right on 2nd Street, took a right on 2nd Street, and ended at a dead end. And I'd turn around and come back out. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am in Richmond, Virginia, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my three kids, my wife, myself. I don't know where I'm at. I want to be in Williamsburg. I don't want to be in Richmond. Oh my goodness, I'm in trouble here. You know what? That's how sometimes our life gets. We take our own directions, what we think the best way is to do it. And we start fiddling around with it a little bit. We push this button, we take that button out, and we unapply that. And all of a sudden, our life is haywire. And all of a sudden, our life's in a situation that we don't want to be. And we're saying, oh no, what do I do? You acknowledge God and say, God, I done messed up. God, you're my God, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. You please help me. And it says that he will direct your path. Now, somebody in here this morning needs to hear that. Somebody in here this morning has gotten messed up, and you're in a situation you don't want to be. And all of a sudden, you've looked up and you've said, oh no, I'm at a dead end. What do I do? Acknowledge it and let God direct your path. Let God show you what to do. Look at the next thing it says. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, why in the world do you suppose God would say, fear the Lord and depart from evil? Because some of us, we love to hug on to evil, the things that are not of God. We like lying. And we like cheating, we like stealing, and we think that somehow that's making us what we ought to be. I can just fib just a little bit, and I can get away with it because my parents are stupid. My parents don't know what they're talking about, and I can lie, and I can get away with this. No, that's clinging unto evil because it's going to come back to you and somebody's going to find out. Or I can fib, and I can cheat, and I can steal, and nothing's going to happen to me. No. You want God to bless, but you refuse to do it His way? That's not going to work. Sometimes we find ourselves in a fix because we've gone contrary to what God tells us to do. It's kind of like this. A senator who's elected by a group of people promises them that I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., or I'm going to go to the government, and I'm going to make decisions representing you. And the people elect him or her based upon what she promises to do. But she gets up to the power of government, and she does everything opposite of what she promised that she would do or he would do. Now, how many of you are likely to vote for that person when they come back wanting to vote again? No. Because they lied, and they're not telling the truth. Even though you gave them direction, they did what they wanted to do. Guess what? Sometimes we do the same thing. God, I want to do this. And God says, okay, here's my word, here's your direction, here's what you do. And you know what happens? We go completely the opposite way. And then we ask God, God, why am I in this fix? God, why am I in this situation? And God says, hey, I done gave you direction one time. Aren't you going to listen to me? In all your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And what's going to be the cause? What's going to be the result? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. How many of you understand that marrow in your bones is very important? Somebody help me out this morning. Why is marrow so important to your bones? It makes blood cells. And you understand and realize if you don't have the right amount of blood cells going through your bones and the marrow, you're going to die. And so how many of you want healthy blood cells in your marrow and your bones? Well, you know a way to do that spiritually is do what God tells you to do. It will be spiritually healthy for you. Now, if I decide as your pastor, if I decide, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the Bible of the Satanic Bible. And I'm going to get my messages from the Satanic Bible. How many of you know that that's not going to be healthy for the church? Yeah. Well, Brother Brian, that'd be wicked. The messages God gives me ought to come from this. So why in the world then do we go to other sources and get our wisdom from? And then we expect God to spiritually bless us. That's what it says here. All right, verse number 9, he then says this, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There it is, give back to God. Now, Brother Brian, how much should I give back to God? 10%? That's a good starting place. Honor the Lord with all thine increase. So, Brother Brian, you're telling me you want me to give everything I have to God and you want me to bring it to the church and just go empty my bank account out and just give it to the church? No. You know what it means? God, I don't have my wallet with me. God, everything belongs to you. You do what you want with it. God doesn't want 10%. He wants 100%. But not only of your finances, He wants 100% of you. Well, Brother Brian, if I give God everything, what's going to be left for me? Everything will be left for you. Everything will be left for you. Give God everything. And then he says, if you do that, if you give God everything, it says, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, you give me everything, and I'll take care of everything that you need. Hold your finger up. Well, don't hold your finger. Just go to Matthew 6:33. Let's go to Matthew 6:33. Let me show you. Matthew 6:33. Now Jesus is teaching here about birds being taken care of and flowers being taken care of, everything else. But look what the bottom line is here in Matthew 6:33. He says this, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you give God first and you seek His righteousness and you do it His way, making decisions based upon what He wants, He says that He will take care of what needs to be taken care of. Parents, let me ask you a question. How many of you have been so frustrated because you told your kids to do it one way and they looked at you and said no? How many of you get frustrated over that? Do you tell them that because you hate them? Do you tell them the right way to do it because you're mad at them and you're angry and you want to hurt them? Absolutely not. Now, JT's not here, so I can tell this on him this morning. He's got the flu. And so we've been giving him some medication that the doctor prescribed to help him feel better. It's just a little bitty shot, you know, plastic shot glass thing. And it's just about 2 or 3 milliliters. Not very much at all. And so last night he was sitting on the couch and I gave him that. And Melissa gave it to him and said, okay, JT, drink this. And he said, no. And I said, why not? He says, I don't like the flavor of it. I said, okay, fine. Go get you a glass of water. Get you an ice cream sandwich. Something. Just drink and eat it right away. And the flavor will go away. No, he sat there and we fought for 2 hours trying to get him to drink that. How many of you parents can understand that one? Yeah. Now, did I want him to drink it because I wanted him hurt? Did I want him to drink it because I wanted him to suffer? No, I knew that that medication would help him. Sure enough, he drank it, and within an hour, he was up bouncing around having a good time. Wasn't he, Grace? He was running around. But no, mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. Brothers and sisters, seek God first. Do what he says, and he will take care of everything that really matters. But look at verse 34. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take sufficient things, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't focus on tomorrow. Just obey God today. He'll take care of tomorrow. Now, some of you might be here sitting here this morning saying, Brother Brian, I didn't need this whatsoever. Everything is going just fine for me. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's going to come a time that you'll need it. Matter of fact, you may know of somebody who needs this. You may have a loved one or a friend or a coworker who's dealing with issues of life and they don't know what to do. All you simply do is say, hey, look what the Bible says. Don't say this. Well, this is what Brother Brian said. No, no, no. You say, here's what the Bible says. Some of you may be going through something right now and you don't know what to do. Your world is topsy-turvy. You don't know which direction to go. Would you just simply do what he told you to do this morning? Let him handle it and take care of it? Or are you going to be like I am sometimes? No. No. Let God be God. You don't try to handle it. Let God handle it. And just do what he tells you to do. Amen? And all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know why God had me share that with you this morning. That was not anything that I studied for or anything else, but I believe that God had that intended for someone here this morning. It intended it for me because there's things and decisions that I want to make and I need to make, but I need God to direct me in them. So heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you a simple question this morning. Nobody looking. How many of you say, Brother Brian, I really need God to direct me in something. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand up this morning. I really need God to direct me. I see your hands. God sees your hands and he knows your heart. Won't you give it to him this morning? Won't you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear God, help me to know what to do. I'm surrendering to you. I can't do it anymore, and I'm tired of fighting. Please, God, your word promised that you would guide and direct me. Please direct my path. I surrender to you. You be God, because I can't be. Would you pray that simple prayer this morning? Maybe there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Maybe there's been a time in your life that you might have thought about it, but you're not sure. Today, won't you repent of your sins? Say, God, please forgive me of all my sins. God, I want you to be my God. I need Jesus to be my Savior. Won't you ask Him to do that this morning? He loves you. You're not here by accident. Whatever the need is this morning, you can make an altar where you're standing. You can come up here. But please, just do what God's telling you to do. I'll pray with you if you need me to. But surrender. Surrender to the Lord. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Your word is never void. Your word applies. And I'm asking you, God, this morning that we would surrender to you and obey your word. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. For the dance we begin to sing, won't you just simply surrender to God today?